Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board today. We're delighted each day of the broadcast that we have the privilege of coming to you by way of this show. And we ask you to tune in each day and join the dialogue and the discussion with your questions. And by asking your questions, we can respond to them based on the issue of the day that we're speaking on. And today, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have dialogue and discussion with you. We're talking about a very, very serious issue today. We're talking about today, we were deceived, lied to. Not asking, were we? I'm telling you, we have been deceived and lied to when it comes to the coronavirus and what has taken place and how it has taken place, and who the movers and shakers are that's behind this scam that's being pulled upon the American populace. Now, listen very carefully before you go any further. I'm not saying that the virus is not real. I'm not saying the virus is not deadly. All of that is true. But we've been lied to in relationship to its how it came about. We've been lied to as to how we should handle it. We've been deceived and lied to by those in leadership. And may I simply say that I believe that multitudes of those that are making decisions and whispering in the president's ear, telling him lies also, I believe that they know full well what is taking place. And so we're going to be talking about that today. And by the way, before we get into the broadcast, the dialogue and discussion, let me say that I believe that it is only needful, necessary, and wise if we pray for the families and all of those that have gone through the whole evening and night and today's devastation across Louisiana and Mississippi and parts of the Deep South and now swinging up into the Northeast and the devastation that's taken place. I believe the last count this morning about 6:30 on the Fox News has said about 19 people had lost their lives. Pray for those families. It's bad enough to be in the midst of the hurricane, in the midst of the dilemma with the pandemic, as it is called, and the panic and hysteria as a result of the coronavirus. But then to have your businesses and your homes wiped out by the devastation of tornadoes, we need to pray for those in this time of desperation and need as never before. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so not based on denominational dogma or some political philosophical rhetoric. We base the decision and the discussion and the dialogue and the ultimate truth on the truth of the Word of God. I have told people many times I'm a constitutionalist and I am a central biblicist. I believe the Word of God inside and out. I believe that when we face issues, we need to do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I believe we need to be wise and seek wisdom from above. In fact, it's in James, the first chapter, the fifth verse says, if anyone of you lack wisdom, let him ask God that giveth unto all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. And ladies and gentlemen, in James chapter 3 and verse 15, it talks about wisdom of man. It says, this wisdom is descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. And I believe when we look at what's happening today in society, we're watching the earthly wisdom, wisdom of man, that is earthly, sensual, and demonic, the scripture says. And that's what we see making decisions in our nation today, in my most humble opinion. So we need to turn to the Word of God. We need to seek God's Word and giving us insight, wisdom, and direction and all that we say and do. In fact, in Psalm 71:1, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. And I believe that's a verse that we need to hang on to in the realization that God's not given us the spirit of fear in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, but we should have our trust and faith and confidence in the Lord. And therefore, as we do so, we're not spun about with confusion. And I'm watching confusion today on every hand simply because of the coronavirus and what people are telling us they need to hide in the closet. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on truth, as I said a moment ago. Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. Notice now, the only way we're going to know the truth is to stay in the word of God. And Jesus says, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then Jesus said in John 14:6, I am truth. And then he further explains to us today what truth happens to be. He says, thy word, speaking of the word of God, from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22, thy word is truth. But ladies and gentlemen, truth is not sought for today. In fact, I contend, and I'll talk about it on this broadcast today. And by the way, this broadcast is going to be inextricably linked with tomorrow's broadcast. Tomorrow, we'll be talking about the coronavirus and the Constitution and end times. The coronavirus, the Constitution, and end times. Do we find any nexus? Is there a linkage between the coronavirus and what we see taking place today and our Constitution and the Word of God and prophetic eschatological sense? There is a nexus, and we'll talk about that tomorrow. But when we talk about any of these issues, we need to understand that people hate the truth. George Orwell said a number of years ago, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we find that taking place today on every hand. But I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And may I, ladies and gentlemen, at this point challenge you, seek the truth. Don't just believe what CNN News says. Don't just believe what the MSNBC will tell you. Don't just believe what ABC and NBC will say. ABC, you know, stands for always bashing Christians. NBC, nothing but bashing Christians. And that's what we see taking place on so many of these networks today. And I challenge you, don't base your decision on what's happening, on what you're being told in these days of being shut in, shut down, hiding in a closet, and watching CNN and the others. We need to, ladies and gentlemen, seek the truth, listen to the truth, and learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death. I had recently an individual that called and left a voicemail on the system here at our campus. He was upset because I had said something on one of the broadcasts about it. He said that it was a lie. And what he was calling a lie was what I said President Trump had said that 2.2 million people would die if we didn't do something, as he had been told by the, the scientific, the medical professionals. And that's not a lie. I've got probably about 300 articles on the coronavirus and all of the extended tentacles out there on it. And this is truth. But he didn't want to hear the truth. And there's so many people, as a nurse recently sent me an email and says something because we're going to have Easter services. What is wrong with you? You will want healthcare workers like me to take care of you when you show up in the hospital with COVID-19. Wrong. Good luck. And maybe the hospital should say the same to you when you show up needing a ventilator. We've got these folks that have now today a messianic complex that they are the ones that God sent with a ventilator that's going to protect and preserve the world. And everybody else, they look down the skinny little nose at is not being truthful. Well, I pray that that same nurse is listening today. And the same individual that said I was lying on the broadcast in giving these statistical data and the facts, pray that he's listening today. I would call their names, but for their protection, I won't call their names. I've got the names, and it's a sad scenario to see folks that are not willing to seek the truth, to listen to the truth. They're going to depend on CNN, the Communist Network News, and what those movers and shakers are saying that they want us to believe. Well, I just simply do not believe it because there's too much evidence. It's called a preponderance of evidence. And anytime an attorney is looking at a case, they base the decision based on what is called the preponderance of the evidence. And I am very, very pleased to say that I think that we are being lied to without any equivocation. I'm not saying the virus is not deadly. It is, and I'll tell you why late in this broadcast. But a dear Christian friend of mine, a brother in Christ, that's a retired military pilot. We were talking about it about 3 weeks ago, talking about some of these loose ends and things that I was researching and trying to find answers to and so forth. And he said, well, you know, in flying an airplane, you start feeling the plane sometimes vibrate, and immediately you want to start trying to search for the problem. But the thing is, you need to keep flying the plane. Just keep flying the plane. And if you fly the plane long enough, the instruments will finally reveal to you the problem and the source so that you know what to do in taking care of the problem. So his philosophy, just keep flying the plane. And I want him to understand he's exactly 1,000% right. Just keep flying the plane. And as you do so, you will find through your instruments, i.e. the truth of the Word of God and the truth that will come out in relationship to what's happening as to what is taking place and how we need to respond. And so I challenge you with that today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the equipment for homeowners like brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time also carries all of the hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators and a knowledgeable staff of team that can answer all your questions about landscape equipment for the professional and for the homeowner, as well as for the hurricane preparedness equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's where the gigantic American flag flies. Find that flagpole, the gigantic American flag flying, I believe it's about 165 feet off the ground. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, we were deceived. We've been lied to. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Feel free that at any point in time during the course of this broadcast, have an elongated monologue to get to the very point of where we want to go. We're going to talk about these movers and shakers like Bill Gates, Dr. Fauci, Dr. Birx, and Dr. Tedros and the World Health Organization. What is the common nexus in their relationships? What are their common goals? What are they wanting to accomplish? And how do they fit into this gigantic puzzle that's called the coronavirus and the deathly aspect that's taking place around the globe? But if we think about that, ladies and gentlemen, it was very recently that the Attorney General, William Barr, said, end the draconian restrictions by May 1st, end quote. And ladies and gentlemen, across America today, we have some 17 million, and it may be higher than that. That was the number of Friday, but 17 million people in America that's out of a job, that's out of work, that have filed for some type of unemployment compensation to benefits to preserve them and to put groceries on the table. Desperation, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, I want to set the stage. I want you to look at it as this being doom and gloom and darkness. I'm speaking the truth based on a central biblicist worldview. As Christians, we ought not to hide in the closet. As Christians, we ought not to take the world's wisdom, the man's wisdom. We need to seek heavenly wisdom, godly wisdom, insight, and we need to do so, ladies and gentlemen, without faltering and without fear, but with faith and standing. I'm amazed in the Christian community across America today how it has been so easy to shut down churches, how it's been so easy for the leadership to say, close the church, and how Christians have been told, if you get in the church, you might die. If you go to church, you might get a germ or a disease. In fact, it's been stated by several of the loose, lax, lost liberals in America today that the Christians are the ones that caused the virus. The Christians are the one that's causing this virus to spread. Ladies and gentlemen, desperation has set in. Suicide and domestic violence are now increasing exponentially. And with the potential of the so-called cure being more deadly than the disease, I want us to just think about the reality of what's happened and how did we get to where we are? How did we get to this place that we've never seen before in the history of the United States of America? A place and a condition that's never been experienced by America. How did we get to where we are today? Where are those voices crying out in the wilderness? Where are those watchmen on the wall standing and saying, be careful, be careful, be careful? Where are those that will say, take a stand, dear Christian, and honor God and faith God and not to be fearful of what man may say? Just what have we done? And just on what authority have we done it? Who are the players? Just who is it that came up with the so-called projections and how many would die and how many would be sick in America? If you ask that question, you've got to have a starting point, ladies and gentlemen. You've got to have a fundamental foundational data set, D-A-T-A-S-E-T, that goes into your computer, your system, to do the projections of where things are going to go for the next day, the next 12 months, the next week, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Who entered those first projection data sets? Who were they? Who made the decision that said that if we do nothing in America, 2.2 million people are going to die? Who made that decision? Who came up with that data set? Just how many, telling us just how many is going to be sick, how many would die? And by the way, a little footnote, how did they know that? What were the what was the rationale that caused them to come up with that number? What in the world, where in the world did they find that? Did they just pull it out of the ear? How did they determine that 2.2 million people are going to die? Just how reliable were these projections? And ladies and gentlemen, on the heels of that question, let me just simply ask you this. What about Bill Gates and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation? How do they play into what's happening with this pandemic around the world? How about Dr. Fauci, Anthony Fauci, the one that has always come on the platform and wants to be the chief speaker rather than President Donald J. Trump in the reports each afternoon? What about Dr. Birx, B-I-R-X? What about Dr. Birx? Where does she fit into the picture? What about Dr. Tedros, the chief executive, no medical experience background in the World Health Organization? What about his background out of Somalia? What happened in 2013, 14, and 15 in Somalia with the major outbreak and a major virus that had taken place there? How did he handle that? Was it covered up? Was it swept under the rug so that he could be put in the position, elected, but primarily by the nation of China, as he put in the head position, the chief honcho position, as I call it, for the World Health Organization? What about his background? What is his connection to? What we see taking place around the globe today. You recall with Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx, they continued to report the number of 2.2 million potential deaths in America due to the COVID-19 virus. We were told that the only possible way to slow down this COVID-19 virus was to shut down America, to close businesses, to shut down the shops, close the stores, and shut down all churches. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you see anything wrong with that statement, call me and tell me. Show me how you can verify otherwise. Do you just simply believe what they're saying? Do we have any relative reliable sources to validate what they're saying? What is the source to validate what they've said that's caused the shutdown of the United States of America at the expense of businesses across America that some will never, ever, ever reopen? Who came up with the numbers? How were those numbers formulated? By which formula did they put the data set in the system to project that for our fright, fear, and to continue to hide in the closet, hide under the beds, as William Barr has said? This article I'm looking at says, Attorney General William Barr says, end the draconian lockdown by May the 1st. He says, we have to be very careful to make sure that the draconian measures that are being used and adopted today are fully justified, and there are no alternative ways of protecting the people otherwise, he says. He says, these restrictions must be lifted. When this period of time ends in April, he says, I think that we have to allow people to adapt more than we have, and not just tell them to go home and hide under a bed, William Barr said. In fact, on the Tucker Carlson show recently, he says, Is going to work more dangerous than going to the grocery store for shopping? Listen, ponder this now. If you go to work, is that more dangerous than going to Walmart, to going to any other grocery store to shop? Is it more dangerous? Is it dangerous to get out into the air and get some jogging? They're telling you now that if you're jogging on the jogging trail, someone sneezes some 30 or 40 yards in front of you, that you could get the coronavirus because of their sneeze. In fact, some, if I can be bold enough to use the term, some ignoramus recently said that the reason we need to close the beaches is because the waves, as they come in and splash, it's like the ocean sneezing on you. And the ocean sneeze can give you the coronavirus. Now, if anybody believes that, I'll give you the Buckman Bridge. I'll dismantle it, put it in your backyard, reassemble it. If you believe that the ocean sneezes coronavirus on you. And yet some of our wise human thinking and thinkers are saying that very thing. Tucker Carlson said, pointing to the record, unemployment of more than 17 million, the consequences of deadly social effect. He noted that until now, quarantine meant separating the sick from the general population and doing everything possible to protect all of the vulnerable. Instead, the United States and countries around the world have instituted an unprecedented mass quarantine strategy. He says, is there a single person who sincerely expects the coronavirus itself to hurt more people in the end than the damage it's causing in our response to it? End quote. Here's an article that says, Dr. Fauci admits previous projections of 100,000 to 240,000 corona deaths was likely an overestimate. Now, listen very carefully, ladies and gentlemen. I have watched just about every one of the coronavirus updates by the president and his battery of wise people as they're viewed that gives their input. Dr. Fauci started out with saying 2.2 million people are going to die if we do not shut down America. When he saw that that was absolutely fallacious, he starts backpedaling and saying, well, somewhere between 100 and 240,000 are going to die. And then recently, when pressed again, he said, well, we can't depend on the formulas, and we can't depend on the data set, we can't depend on the numbers, we just have to watch what is happening. He's trying to distance himself from his statements when on February the 26th, in an article he'd written for the American Medical Association, Dr. Fauci said that the coronavirus will be nothing more than a serious annual flu. And now he is the one that's saying the sky is falling, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. In fact, here's one. Dr. Fauci dismisses virus models but urges nationwide lockdown. What is the basis, this article says, what is the basis for Dr. Anthony Fauci's recommendations that all 50 states issue economy-killing stay-at-home orders to combat the coronavirus? It's the models created by the epidemiologist. But what is the model? What is wrong with the model? What was it based on? Fauci himself, in fact, according to the Washington Post, said the coronavirus task force meeting this week that there were too many variables to play in the pandemic to make the model reliable today. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, it was in January when he started saying 2.2 million people in America are going to die. It was in January that he started hammering on the president that this is what you've got to say. As a result of that, the president's been using that fallacious, phony, fictitious, lying to the public number, not realizing that that was a fake, phony, false number, that he's still been repeating that it's 2.2 million people if he didn't do something. So as a result of that being pushed, the president had to do something, and the press by the push by the phony fallacious numbers by Dr. Fauci and the World Health Organization, Dr. Tedros and Dr. Birx, all of them concluding that this needed to be done. Therefore, President Trump had to do something to look and understand that he's trying to help America. Here's an article. Laura Ingraham is the first mainstream reporter to discuss faulty WHO coronavirus mortality rates that led to the global pandemic. And she goes on with a major, major article on that as far as their projected numbers and the 2.2 million people that will die. Here's an article that says, ladies and gentlemen, coronavirus mapping sites predictions have fallen way short. Ladies and gentlemen, it's very, very important information to understand when we see the major source of information upon which the government leaders have relied upon to urge to order the canceling of all public events, the shutting down of business, the shutting down of churches, are all based on inaccurate, deceptive numbers that's brought about the panic, the hysteria that's caused people to hide under the beds, as Attorney General William Barr has said. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time we understand and start thinking as citizens, especially as conservatives, and more especially, if you're saved, God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, gives us insight and wisdom from on high and not having to listen to, depend upon the panic-stricken misnomers that's being publicized out and 24/7 on the drive-by, fake, phony, false news media. Ladies and gentlemen, look at the numbers presently. And they say, we've already reached the apex. We're on the downslide on the going down with flattening out, as they keep calling it, the numbers. And yet we've had, about 20,000 or around that, and I'm not minusculizing even the single death, had about 20,000 deaths in America. And yet last year, ladies and gentlemen, we had about 55,000 deaths from the common flu in 2019 and 2020. So far this year, we've had about 31,000 deaths from the common flu. But ladies and gentlemen, we've been lied to. We've been deceived 100% into believing that somehow, some way, what we have been told is truth. And it's an absolute fabricated, phony, false lie that we've been told. And as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, the constitutional liberties, the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion, the freedom of association, the right to keep and bear arms, all of these have been infringed upon. Our First Amendment, our Second Amendment, our Fourth Amendment, our 14th Amendment, our 10th Amendment have all been truncated in some fashion and in some way contravened in a sense and in a manner that I would have never dreamed possible in the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm simply saying to you, we've been lied to. We're going to get into greater depth for the balance of this broadcast, talking about how we've been lied to and what is the rationale behind the lies. I believe we have a caller on the phone. Go over the question and comment, please.
I'm going to once again share, and I'm sure you've shared this repeatedly, share 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Using a little bit of sound mind, using a little bit of analysis, using a little bit of what may be wisdom, we have to examine what's driving the train right now, what's driving the focus right now, what's being used to manipulate. And fear is being used to manipulate. Fear is the number one driver of decisions around the world. In sales, it's used. You scare someone into, you know, somebody's going to steal the title deed to their house, buy this product. Somebody's going to break into the computer, buy this product. Somebody's going to break into the car, buy this product. Fear is used every single day. It's used by politicians every single day. I believe Democrats use it much more effectively than Republicans ever could. But this fear, this 2.1 million people that were supposed to die in America because of this, we didn't act immediately and do this and that, the same kind of tactic is used for the green earthers, green new dealers. You know, we've got to make all these radical changes because the planet will just go away. It'll be destroyed within the next 12 years. Well, we've been hearing that for the past 50 years, by the way. But
that's right.
Fear is being used. Fear is being used. None. I challenge you today. Find a CDC or WHO chart, a graph, a model. Find a model that has been predictive, that has been correct, that they haven't changed. Now, keep in mind, the day after the numbers come out, they readjust their model. And I understand how modeling works. The idea that being dead-on accurate is not going to be the case. However, it has often been stated that if science has any value, it must be predictive. If you do a scientific study and it's not predictive, it cannot help the situation, then that science is invalid. It has no value. It's not efficacious for a definitive purpose. So what I'm telling you today is, since these numbers aren't right, what were the numbers used for? Why were they contrived? Why were they made up? Why were they pushed in the form and fashion that they were? And why do we have people today saying we shouldn't go to work until there's a vaccine and everybody's been vaccinated? What's driving the train? And I have a few suspicions on
absolutely
what's driving
absolutely
the train and who's driving.
Greg, hang in there. We're going to have the top of the hour 1 minute break for our news. We're coming back. We're going to talk about Bill Gates and Dr. Fauci and Dr. Bricks and how they fit in the picture. How does the World Health Organization fit into it? What are the nexus to that that is being causing us panic stricken hysteria today in America? Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.